السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن أصدق الكلام كلام الله، وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. أيها الناس، إن مما جبل الله عليه الناس النسيان، إذ لا بد أن ينسى كل أحد من بني آدم وهم يتفاوتون في ذلك. ولقد نسي أنبياء الله تعالى لأنهم بشر يجري عليهم ما يجري على غيرهم، إلا ما عصموا فيه من الخطأ والنسيان، ألا وهو البلاغ عن رب العالمين. ولذا لم يؤاخذ الله تعالى عباده على النسيان، كما قال سبحانه في كتاب العزيز: ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا وأخطأنا. جاء عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنه قال: إن الله عز وجل قال: قد فعلت. وقد شرع الله تعالى لعباده ما يجبر نسيانهم في عباداتهم. فلما نسي رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم في صلاته أعلم أمته كيف يصنعون إنهم نسوا في صلواتهم؟ فعن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله عنه قال: صلى النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، قال إبراهيم أي ابن يزيد النخعي أحد رواة الحديث: لا أدري زاد أو أنقص. فلما سلم قيل له: يا رسول الله، أحدث في الصلاة شيء؟ قال: وما ذاك؟ قالوا: صليت كذا وكذا، فثنى رجليه واستقبل القبلة وسجد سجدتين ثم سلم، فلما أقبل علينا بوجهه قال: إنه لو حدث في الصلاة شيء لنبأتكم به، ولكن إنما أنا بشر مثلكم أنسى كما تنسون، فإذا نسيت فذكروني، وإذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فليتحرى الصواب فليتم عليه ثم ليسلم ثم يسجد سجدتين. متفق عليه. وعن عبد الله بن محينة رضي الله عنه ان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى بهم الظهر فقام في الركعتين الاوليين فلم يجلس، فقام الناس معه حتى اذا قضى الصلاة وانتظر الناس تسليمه كبر وهو جالس فسجد سجدتين قبل ان يسلم. متفق عليه. وعن ابي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال: صلى بنا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إحدى صلاتي العشي، أي الظهر أو العصر. قال ابن سيرين: سماهما، أي أبو هريرة، ولكن نسيت أنا. قال: فصلى بنا ركعتين ثم سلم، فقام إلى خشبة معروضة في المسجد فاتكى عليها كأنه غضبان، ووضع يده اليمنى على اليسرى وشبك بين أصابعه، ووضع خده الأيمن على ظهر كفه اليسرى، وخرجت السرعان من أبواب المسجد فقالوا: قصرت الصلاة. وفي القوم أبو بكر وعمر فهابا أن يكلماه، وفي القوم رجل يقال له ذو اليدين، قال: يا رسول الله، أنسيت أم قصرت الصلاة؟ قال: لم أنس ولم تقصر. قال: أكما يقول ذو اليدين؟ قالوا: نعم. فتقدم فصلى ما ترك ثم سلم، ثم كبر وسجد مثل سجودي أو أطول، ثم كبر وسجد مثل سجودي أو أطول، ثم رفع رأسه وكبر. فربما سألوه، أي سألوا محمد بن سيرين ثم سلم، فيقول: نبئت أن عمران بن حصين قال ثم سلم. متفق عليه. وروى مسلم عن عمران بن حصين رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم صلى العصر فسلم في ثلاث ركعات، ثم دخل منزله فقام إليه رجل يقال له الخرباق وكان في يده طول، فقال: يا رسول الله. فذكر له صنيعه، وخرج غضبان يجر رداءه حتى انتهى إلى الناس، فقال: أصدق هذا؟ قالوا: نعم. فصلى ركعة ثم سلم ثم سجد سجدتين. وعن أبي سعيد الخدري رضي الله عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا شك أحدكم في صلاته فلم يدري كم صلى ثلاثا أم أربعة، فليطرح الشك وليبني على ما استيقن، ثم ليسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم، فإن كان صلى خمسا شفعنا له صلاته، وإن كان صلى إتماما لأربع كانت ترغيما للشيطان. أخرجه مسلم. وعن عبد الرحمن بن عوف رضي الله عنه قال: سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول: إذا سهى أحدكم في صلاته فلم يدري واحدة صلى أو اثنتين فليبني على واحدة، فإن لم يدر اثنتين صلى أو ثلاثا فليبني على اثنتين، فإن لم يدر ثلاثا صلى أو أربع أو أربعة فليبني على ثلاث، وليسجد سجدتين قبل أن يسلم. أخرجه أحمد وأبو داود والترمذي، وقال: حديث حسن غريب صحيح، وصححه النووي في المجموع والألباني في صحيح سنن الترمذي.
هذه هي أحاديث السهو الثابتة عن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم، تتضمن الهيئات التي يكون فيها السهو وكيف يجبر، تثبت لنا بشريته صلى الله عليه وسلم، وتعلمنا سنته حال حدث لأحدنا شيء من ذلك لنأتسي به ونعتمد طريقه صلى الله عليه وسلم. فاحمدوا الله على عفوه عن سهوكم، واشكروه على ما تفضل به عليكم، واستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله الهادي ولا هادي سواه، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا وحبيبنا محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، عباد الله، فالفقه في الدين نعمة عظيمة ينعم الله بها على من يشاء من عباده، ومن سأل الله من فضله آتاه. وإن من الفقه بل أعظمه بعد العقيدة فقه الصلاة التي هي أعظم شعائر الإسلام وشرائعه العظام بعد الشهادتين. لذا لزم أن يتعلم المسلم كيف يصنع إن هو سهى في صلاته. وقد تقدمت لكم 6 أحاديث في فقه السهو في الصلاة، نجمل ما جاء فيها من أحكام السهو فيما يلي. أولا، أن سجود السهو واجب في حق من زاد أو أنقص أو شك في صلاته، على قول جمهور أهل العلم، ومنهم مالك بن أنس وأحمد بن حنبل وأبو حنيفة النعمان، كما ذكره ابن تيمية في الفتاوى. ومنها مشروعية التكبير لسجود السهو كما نقل الإجماع فيه الإمام ابن الملقن في الإعلام بفوائد عمدة الأحكام. ومنها أن سجود السهو لا يتكرر بتكرر السهو، لما في حديث ابن بحينة من تركه صلى الله عليه وسلم التشهد والجلوس له، وهما واجبان منفصلان مستقلان. واكتفاؤه صلى الله عليه وسلم بسجدتين للسهو عنهما جميعا، كما ذكر ذلك ابن دقيق العيد في إحكام الأحكام. ومنها أن من شك بنى أن من شك تحرى الصواب، فإن لم يترجح له شيء بنى على اليقين وهو الأقل. ومنها أن سجود السهو قبل السلام إذا كان عن نقص أو شك لم يترجح له فيه شيء، ويكون سجود السهو بعد السلام إذا كان من زيادة أو شك ترجح له فيه شيء. وثمة قول معتبر عند أهل العلم، وهو جواز سجود السهو قبل السلام أو بعده على الإطلاق. والله تعالى أعلم بالصواب، وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. وبهذا نكون قد أتينا على ختام أخطاء المسلمين في الصلاة، ونشرع في جمعتنا القادمة في بيان أخطاء المسلمين في الصيام، ثم يلي ذلك أخطاؤهم في جميع أركان الإسلام، ليعلم المسلم من أين يؤتى في نقص العبادات فيأتي بها على تمامها، ويجبر ما كان منه من نقصانها. أسأل الله بمنه وكرمه أن يفقهنا وإياكم في الدين، وأن يجعلنا من خير عباده المسلمين المفلحين المخلصين المخلصين، إنه على كل شيء قدير. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى، وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي، يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله العظيم الجليل يذكركم، واشكروه على عموم نعمه يزدكم، ولذكر الله أكبر، والله يعلم ما تصنعون.
Thank you. الحمد لله صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبي مصطفى ما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, this will be the last session of the mistakes of Muslims in their prayer. And inshallah ta'ala, from next week we're going to talk about some other mistakes of Muslims in other worships like fasting and so on. We began the khutbah by khutbah al-hajj as you hear, and then I said, all people, verily from what Allah created mankind upon is forgetting things. That they, one of their characters that Allah Ta'ala, or one of their characteristics that Allah Ta'ala created them upon, is that they forget. That they forget. Every mankind, every child of Adam will have to forget. Not willingly, but naturally will forget. But they are, in this matter, are different. Some of them forget very badly, and some very rarely. The prophets and messengers forgot because they were human like everyone else. And what can affect and harm and happen to the human being could happen to the prophets and messengers, except for which that they are protected and perfected on the life of conveying the message. But on their normal affairs and life duties, they forget. And that's why Allah Ta'ala does not punish people for forgetting. As He Subhanahu wa Ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إِنْ نَسِينَا وَأَخْطَأْنَا. Oh, our Lord, do not harm us or punish us for what we forget or mistake. Allah Ta'ala, in the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Ta'ala said, I have done, meaning I gave you what you asked for, not to punish you for what you forget or mistake. But He Subhanahu wa Ta'ala did not leave it like that. He Subhanahu wa Ta'ala told us how to correct our mistakes or when we forget. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgotten some pillars and some other times, in some other times, some obligations of the prayer. While he was leading the congregation, he forgot some, as in the hadith reported by Ibn Mas'ud, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Prophet ﷺ led us in a prayer one day as Ibrahim al-Nakhai, one of the students of Ibn Mas'ud, who conveyed this hadith from Ibn Mas'ud. He said, I forgot what Ibn Mas'ud said. Did the Prophet ﷺ add some more things and some more pillars to the salah, or he forgotten some, he did not do them? But he said, but when he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam finished his prayer, it was said to him, O Messenger of Allah, is there anything new happened in salah? Is there any new legislation in salah? He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, why, what is there? They said, Ya Rasulullah, you pray so and so. He then bent his legs back to the, and faced the Qibla back again, and did two sujood of sahu, and then he made salam after that. And when he faced us, he said, if anything happened to one of you in the prayer, made him to forget something of it. Sorry, he said,
if anything was legislated newly in the prayer, I would have told you about. And then he said, verily, I'm a man like you. I forget like you forget. So whenever I forget anything, remind me. And then he said, if one of you forgets anything in his prayer, then let him too chase the truth of what he has forgotten. And then he continue on that. And after that, he need to prostrate. He need to do two prostrations at the end of the prayer. And this hadith is agreed upon. And the other hadith, which is the hadith of Abdullah bin Buhayna radiallahu ta'ala anhu, one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said that verily the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lit us in the prayer one day of dhuhr. Lit us on the prayer of dhuhr one day. But he stood after the first two rak'ah, meaning he did not sit for the first shahr. He stood. He did not sit, so the people followed him. The people followed him and stood. And when he finished his prayer, and people waiting for him to finish the prayer, he did the takbir. He said, Allahu Akbar, while he was in sitting position, and did two sujood. That is sujood as-sahw, before he may have sleep. And this hadith is agreed upon. And the other hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in one of the prayers of Al-Ashi. Al-Ashi is the time from zenith until the sunset. So one of the two prayers of Al-Ashi, it means it might be Dhuhr or Asr. It might be Dhuhr or Asr. So Ibn Sirin said, Abu Hurairah named this prayer, but I forgot it. Which one was it? He then said, Abu Hurairah, so he prayed, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam led us in the prayer with two rak'ahs, and then he made taslim. And then he bent his back to a wood. A piece of wood was in the masjid. And he leaned on it and looked like very angry. Then he put his right hand on his left hand and he joined between the fingers. And then he put his right cheek on his left, on the back of his left hand, like this. Like if he's thinking of something. And the people who usually go first from the masjid, because as you see today, it was during the time of Rasulullah. Once the Imam says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, people run away from the masjid. It used to be like that even that time. But not all those, you know, the great Sahaba, they did not used to leave before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and before they complete their dhikr. So they outside said the prayer was shortened to two rak'ah, and there were Abu Bakr and Umar amongst the people in the masjid, but for respecting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they could not ask him if that is the truth. And there was a man amongst them called Dhul Yadayn. And he said then, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, have you forgotten? Or it is that the prayer was shortened? He said, No, I forgot. Neither I forgot nor the prayer was shortened. And then he turned to the Sahaba, Abu Bakr and Umar, and he said, Is it true what Dhul Yadayn is saying? They said, Yes, Ya Rasulullah, it is true. So he then again led them in the prayer and
prayed what he was told that he had missed. And then he made takbir after the tashahhud, said Allahu Akbar while in sitting position, and then he went on sujood for a long sujood. And then he rose up from sujood and sat down with takbir, and then went back to sujood with takbir, and then and it was a long sujood again, and then he rose up from sujood and immediately he made salam. Or sorry, I'll tell you the hadith as it is reported. And he said, after the second sajda, he sallam raised his head. Then the narration says, فَرُبَّمَا سَأَلُوهُ. Maybe the people asked him, who him? It is Muhammad ibn Sirin, the student of Abu Huraira, the narrator of the hadith. And then he made salam, he did taslim, after he did the two sujood. Ibn Sirin said, I was told that Imran ibn Husayn, another companion of the Prophet ﷺ, said that he then did taslim to the both sides. And this hadith is agreed upon. In the hadith of Imran ibn Husayn, which is reported by Imam Muslim, it was said, Imam Abu Hassan said that barely Rasulullah led us in a house of prayer one day, and then he made taslim after three rak'ahs instead of four. After three rak'ahs, he made taslim. And then he stood up and went to his house. But this went to his house means he was ready to get into his house when a man called Al-Khirbaq. When a man called the khirbaq, وَكَانَ فِي يَدِهِ طُولُ. He is the same man which is called Dulyadain. His name is Al-Khirbaq, and he was called Dulyadain because one of his hands is longer than the other. So that's why he was called Dulyadain. This man said, Ya Rasulullah, and then he told him what happened in the prayer. The Prophet ﷺ came back from his house after he entered it. He came back pulling his rida, the upper garment. And he was very angry till he came to the people and he said, is it true what this man is saying? They said, yes. Then he prayed two rak'ah, he prayed the rak'ah that he missed, and then he made taslim after two. And he made taslim. He made taslim, and then he made two sujood after the salam. After the salam. On the other hadith, which is in the narrative of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you forgotten or had a doubt in his prayer, he does not know whether he prayed three rak'at or four rak'at, then let him to forget about the doubt and based on what he is sure of. Now when we have three or four, we are sure of three and we are doubting the fourth. So forget about the fourth and consider that you have only prayed three. As Jesus said, let him to forget about what the doubt is about, and then based on what he is sure, what he is certain about. And then let him to pray, to do two prostrations before the salam. And then he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said something explaining this. He said, if he already prayed five, let's assume that he forgot and stood for the fifth, this would make his yani prayer not to be odd number. And if he prayed four, then it would be, the sujood would be only rughma li shaitan. Rughma means to put the nose of the shaitan in the soil. Because the one who make you forget is the shaitan. He always whisper in your prayer, trying to make you forget what you have prayed. And here, let me just tell you this. Funny benefit. It's a benefit, but it's also funny. It was said that a Christian or a Jew came to Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani in Egypt, and he said to him, Ibn Hajar, you Muslims say that once you get into your prayers, shaitan come and whisper to you. Why when we get into our prayers, we do not feel that? He said, well, shaitan has no time to waste playing around the abundant houses. Meaning, these are corrupted and abundant houses, and nobody living there. What kind of thief go there and see? But when he come to the very rich houses, he will be very sure that he's going to go out with something. So that's why he does not go to those who worship other than Allah. Because if they worship other than Allah from here until the day of resurrection, it's not going to protect them from the fire. It's not going to be accepted from them. Because Allah, the only true God, has created us all mankind, to worship Him alone. To worship Him alone. And in the last hadith we brought today, the sixth and last, of what is reported about Sujood al-Sahw, it was on the authority of Abdul Rahman ibn Awf radiallahu anhu, who said, I hear the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, إِذَا سَعَى أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ, if one of you forgets in his prayer, does not know, he prayed one rak'ah or two, then let him make it one. That's easy. Don't just get confused. You are certain that you have done one, but you are confused with second. Forget about the second. Make it one. So he said, فَلْيَبْنِي عَلَى وَاحِدًا, let him then to establish the rest of his prayer on one. He is certain of one, that he's done it. And then he said, فَإِنْ لَمْ يَدْرِي اِذْنَتَيْنِ صَلَّى أَمْ ثَلَاثًا فَلْيَبْنِي عَلَى اِذْنَتَيْنِ, if he doesn't know, he prayed two or three, then let him consider two. If he doesn't know three or four, then let him to consider it three. And then let him to make two sujood before he finishes prayer. Let him to do two sujoods, that is for sahw. This would be after the tashahhud is completed and right before the salah. Two sujood. This sujood called sujood sahw. And this hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad, Abu Dawood, Tirmidhi, who said, this hadith is hadithun hasanun, good, gharib, strange, sahih, authentic. And this hadith is also authenticated by Imam al-Nawawi in his book Al-Majmu' and authenticated by Imam al-Bani in his book Sahih Sunan al-Tirmidhi. These were the hadith about sujood al-sahw, which were authentic ahadith. And these ahadith gives us the understanding, the proper understanding of what to do when you forget in your salah, in your prayer. Whether you are imam or a ma'moom or someone who's praying by his own. And also this hadith proves to us that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a man like us. He's nothing else other than a man like us. The components of his body is like the components of our body. The only difference is he is the most pious person Allah ever created. That is the only thing. And he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, chosen from Allah to carry and deliver the message of Allah. But he is not an angel. He is not a special creation. He is a normal creation like any other creation. As he sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, as you hear in one of the hadith, he said, I'm a man like you. I forget like you forget. And that this hadith proves that he is a man, not like what the Sufis say, that he is not like us. No, he is like us. He does not know the unseen. He can forget. He can get ill. He can get hungry. He can get angry in it. As you hear, he came off his house when he was reminded that he missed some of the rak'ah. He came off his house pulling his other garment, rida, and he was very angry. He was very angry. And then he told them why he was very angry. He said, I'm a man like you. I can forget like you forget. When I forget, you remind me. You don't keep quiet. So if you're sure why you don't correct the Imam, whether he is the Prophet or anyone else. We should correct the Imam because this prayer is for the sake of Allah. We should not please each other by keeping quiet. Oh, he must be the Sheikh, the big Sheikh. Oh, he is Sheikh Abdelazar Sheikh. How come I correct him? No, you correct him. You correct him. Even if he was Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, as he said, correct me, remind me. So we have to take this responsibility and do it. And then I said, in the second khutbah, the conclusion of this hadith, as there were six hadith, we got here six benefits out of this hadith. That first of all, the sujood of sahw is wajib. Is wajib. Is wajib for the one who added some pillars or obligations to the prayer, or if he missed some of it, or if he had a doubt whether he missed or not, whether he added or not, right? And this is the best opinion of the scholars, and it is the opinion of the majority of the scholars. Some other scholars say it is not wajib, but it is wajib. It is wajib, as we saw that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in all the times that he either missed or added, he Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam did pray the two sujood of sahw. And this opinion is taken by Imam Malik ibn Anas, Imam Ahmad, Imam Abu Hanifa, al-Nu'man, as Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, rahimahullah al-jami'ah, said in his book Al-Fatawa, volume 23, page 28. And from the benefits of this hadith is that takbir for sujood al-sahw is also needed, is also needed, as Imam Ibn al-Mulaqqin has conveyed the agreement of all the scholars about this issue, that when you go for sujood al-sahw, you need to say Allahu Akbar. When you raise up, you need to say Allahu Akbar, as in his book Al-I'lam bi Fawaid Umdat al-Ahkam, value 3, page 294. And for the benefits of this hadith is that sujood al-sahw, the sujood for sahw, is not repeated. It's not repeated. Even if done one thing or more than one time of sahw in the prayer, even if you have done more than one time sahw in your prayer, as in the hadith of Abdullah bin Buhayna, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam missed two obligations, tashahud and sitting for tashahud. These are two separate obligations. The first tashahud and the sitting for the first tashahud. So when he missed them both, he did only one time sujood sahw. Two sujood, one time. It's not two and two, but only two. And this is as Ibn Daqiq al-Eid said in his book, Ihkam al-Ahkam, page 283. And as also from the benefits of this hadith is that once you have a doubt, then you immediately, yani you try to remember. But if you can't, then you immediately base to what you are certain about. To what you are certain about. And then, usually, what you are certain about is the lower number. Is the lower number. If you have a doubt, is this the fourth rak'ah of the third? For sure you are certain now of the third. But you are not for the fourth. Forget about the fourth and stand to do another one, which would be the fourth. Unless, of course, if you are leading the jama'ah and the people remind you, then you have to sit. Then you have to sit. Also from these benefits is the place of sujood al-sahw. Where is it, before salam or after salam or in any place, any time? Three different opinions from the scholars. But they are more than three, but the best opinion is that if sujood al-sahw because of shortening, missing some parts of the prayer, or a doubt that you could not yani come up with yani something certain. So you base on the lower number. In these two cases, if you base on the lower number, or you have shortened, certainly, then your sujood must be before salam. Your sujood for salam must be before salam. While if you added something extra to the prayer, another rak'ah, another sajda, another sitting, right? Then, and also, in other case, when you have a doubt, but you immediately remember. You had a doubt, but you remember. Then in these two cases, you do the sujood after salam. You do the sujood after salam. There is other saying, very valuable saying for the scholars, which says that there is no matter whether you do the two sujood of salam before or after. The important thing is to do sujood salam whenever you have a salam. So, and this, yani, for those who cannot remember the cases and conditions, then let them to make the sujood before salam. That's the easy thing. But of course, if you do sujood salam in the same positions of what Rasulullah ﷺ has done them, this would be more rewardable. More rewardable. And this was the end of our khutbah of today. And as we said, that this would be also the end of the clarifications of the mistakes of the prayers and what is needed for the prayers. As you remember, we spoke about the mistakes and purification and the mistakes in before salah, inside the salah, and after the salah. Today we ended up with sujood as-sahw. Inshallah ta'ala, from next Friday, we're going to speak about the mistakes of Muslims in their fasting, whether in Ramadan or outside Ramadan, and how would they do, and what is the better saying in the different opinions of the scholars. And inshallah ta'ala, we'll do the same thing with zakah and hajj and all the other Islamic affairs. Wallahu a'lam wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad ala sahbihi. And before we get to the classes, if you have any question related to the subject. Sorry, Abdullah. No, I did not say that. If you miss, and you are sure that you miss, yes, before salam. If you do more, yeah, after the salam. Yeah? What did we say? We say that. We mentioned that. Even in the hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ has to get in the tashahhud, this is the first tashahhud, right? And stood. And he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did that after the salam, right? As we said, if you forgot, once again, if you shorten, or you have a doubt that you did not know what exactly you have done, then you base on the lowest number, okay? So in these two cases, in shortening, and you are certain of shortening, or you don't know, you tried to figure it out but you could not come up with something, then you just consider that you have, you consider the lowest, right? And in these two cases, you do the sujood before salam. Now take the opposite. If you add something, you're going to do it after salam. If you have a doubt, but while you are praying, you are sure now, I have missed, or I have really done something more, So here, the sujood sahwi will be after salam. No. Yeah, now, he has done two sajda. But after the second sajda, he thought he's done only one.
Yes.
So he went for a third sajda in real, but to him it's the second.
Yes.
Okay. Did he do sujood sahwi?
Yes.
Okay, so he has done the second sajda based on realizing that he forgot something. Okay. And then he did the two sajda before salam. No, he doesn't need to do another two sajda after salam. No. Because his sujood sahwi is based on what he thinks, not what the people tell him after the salam. Unless if he done the third sajda thinking it is the second without having any doubt. And then when he finished the prayer, people told him, oh, you have done three. He did not do sujood sahwi because he's still thinking like Rasulullah. He did five, the fifth rak'ah. He did not think that it's the fifth. And they did not tell him, did not remind him. So he did not do sujood sahwi at all. Because he's still thinking it's the fourth. No more. Yeah. Now listen. Again, I think I have said that in the first benefit. We said that the proper opinion of the jumhur of the ulama, it is wajib. It is a condition. It is an obligation. If you don't do sujood sahwi, when you know that you have done sahwi, then yes, salah is not accepted. Yeah. Some of the ulama say that if the imam missed, for example, the ruku', and he says subhanallah, but he doesn't understand yet. Some of them say you recite something of the Quran that contains the name of the ritual that he missed. But there is no dalil for that, honestly. It's an opinion, ijtihad of some of the ulama. But there is no dalil of that. No dalil of that. The Prophet ﷺ told us, Abba, remind me. But he did not tell them to remind him with an ayah or something. Other than as what he told them how to remind the imam by saying subhanallah. He said in one other hadith, when the imam gets wrong, you say subhanallah. Right? But some of the ulama say, for example, if he forgets the Quran, he say warka'u ma'a raki'een. If he forgets the sujood. But you come to some places where there is nothing in the Quran mentioned. Huh? Like the child or sitting. Or, you know, so I don't, what I believe is that when you say subhanallah and the imam does not understand, then we need to look to what he missed. If he missed something of the salah, then you follow him. If he missed shahud, you follow him. But if he missed something, pila. No, you don't follow him. If he missed ruku', you do your ruku'. Because the imam does not carry the filas on behalf of the followers. But the imam carries what we call it wajib, wajibat. Right? Which can be made by sujood sahw. But the pillar needs for sujood sahw but cannot be made by sujood sahw. Meaning, you will still have to do it. You will still have to do it. Right? Allahu Akbar. And if he added something extra, if he stood for fifth rak'ah, and you say subhanallah, he doesn't understand, doesn't know, he doesn't come back, you do not follow. You do not follow, you just sit. You wait for him until he comes down and makes salah. And then you, after salah, you remind him if he doesn't make sujood sahw. No. So far. No, I just said it. There is no ikhtilaf amongst the ulama, not at all. Not at all. No any single alim that I know, he said, you follow him when he adds extra rak'ah. No any single alim. They all say, you have to sit. Because now you are sure that it's the fifth. You are certain that it's the fifth. So you cannot pray for five rak'ah. Only when you forget and you cannot know or you doubt, then that's a different case. Because to you, it would be the fourth. To one who sees you, it would be the fifth. No, Allah. No, you can't make salam without the imam. You will have to wait until the imam goes back to sitting and make his tashahud and then make his salam, then you make your salam. First of all, we have to know that these prayers do not increase the work of Allah, the dominion of Allah. Whatever worship we do, Allah is not in need for. So, this is only to show the obedience to Allah, and it's what Allah Ta'ala gave us to maintain piety and, you know, gain the pleasure and reward of Allah. Allah Ta'ala made it very simple, so we have to take it as simple as Allah Ta'ala made it for us. Allah Ta'ala said, لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah Ta'ala is not making anything obligatory upon a person except what he is able to. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, إِذَا أَمَرْتَكُمْ بِأَمْرٍ فَأْتُوا مِنْهُ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ. If I command you with anything, do of it of what you can do, as much as you can do. Now, people praying behind walls, they do not see the imam, they do not see people who see the imam. Right? What can they do? This is their limit. If the imam recites Surah Al-Sajda, first of all, we need to teach the people the fiqh. We need to teach the people the fiqh. Today, most of the Muslims do not understand the fiqh of salah. They do not understand that when the imam recites surah has a sajda, or ayah has a sajda, he needs to go for sujood. Why they have these mistakes? Because they do not know it. These imams are getting the people involved in politics than to teach them their prayer. That they do it five times a day. That's the problem. If you go to any masjid, even in, here in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, which is the best today and knowledge about deen, yet you go to any masjid, you ask very simple questions like, what can be made by sujood sahw, what cannot be made? Nobody can answer you. Believe me, I mean what I say when I say nobody, including the imams who are leading the prayers, including the imams. Just yesterday, I was praying behind an imam here in one of the mosques in the airport, and the imam made a mistake in the prayer, right? He sat on the third rakah, thinking it's the fourth, maybe, or the second. And he sat for tashahud. People started saying, Subhanallah, Subhanallah. He did not realize what they are making Subhanallah for. What mistake he did, he did not realize. So I spent some time, and then he knew that he is sitting on the third rakah instead of standing. So he stood. And then he did sujood sahw before the salam. Now, after the salah, someone came and asked him. And then they came to me, they say, Sheikh, you tell us what is this. The man said, yani, that's what he thought. I said, as long as that was what you thought, it's okay. He said, but you know, it is the first time for me to know the ruling of sujood sahw. I said, Subhanallah. And he is, mashallah, bearded. And he has, mashallah, he has some kind of knowledge. And many other masajid I've been to here in Saudi Arabia, when I ask, very little times when I get answers. This is because we, the du'at, are mistaken. We are not doing our duty properly. Otherwise, you will see the ummah. And this is something they do 5 times a day. How come they mistake in it? So what will they do in the thing that they do it once a year, like fasting, or once alive, like Hajj? Of course they're going to make major mistakes. Because what they exercise 5 times a day, minimum 17 rak'ah a day, yet they are mistaken in it. And they do not know the fiqh of it. But they come and ask about very, 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 particulars, yani, very, very, yani, deep things in the knowledge of this religion. This is ridiculous. They know about many things, including jarh al-ta'dil, but they don't know how to pray. They read books. They read books, but not the books of fiqh. Including the Salafis. Let me be honest with you. Including the Salafis. They read everything in their hand. But they read everything, make them brilliant. Something wonderful, something special. When they speak. But when they pray, they don't feel shame that they stand before Allah knowing nothing of what to do. It's a problem. Then this responsibility falls on the shoulders of the du'at and the imams of the masajid, not only in the West. So their duty is to teach the people what to do in their prayers. And the other thing is, we have to know that, as I said in the beginning of the answer to this question, that the Muslim is told to do his best. If this is his ability, خلاص الحمد لله. If the Imam went on sujood of recitation while he does not see him, does not see the people who see him, and he thought that he is on ruku and he made ruku, No problem with that. And if the Imam says Allahu Akbar, now he must have a common sense now to know that raising from ruku' does not call Allahu Akbar. So he should do what now? What should he do now? Huh? Sorry? Follows the Imam. Not necessarily. Not necessarily. But he, I mean this follower, who went to ruku' while the Imam went to sujood of recitation, saying out from sujood, saying Allahu Akbar. Through the speakers he hears Allahu Akbar. Normally, rising from ruku' is Sami'a Allahu liman hamida. But this time he hears the Imam saying Allahu Akbar. What should he now, by the common sense, what should he do? He should continue on ruku'. He should not raise up. Because he must know now that he has mistaken. But if he, if his body, no. You don't call for standing, for rising up from ruku'. Allahu Akbar. What is the call for rising up from ruku'?
No, I understand that. But if the Imam is in the taking and then he pulls it up for recitation,
for rising. Right. What should he now, one who was in ruku' instead of sujood, what should he do? If he raises up, if he rises up, and then the Imam goes to ruku', he has done two ruku' now in one rak'ah. He should stay. Wait for his Imam to come to that position. In this case, it is the only time that the ma'mum has done the pilaf before the Imam. But this is due to a mistake. And instead of, he already done ruku' before his Imam. If he rises up by Allahu Akbar of the Imam, and then he goes back with the Imam to ruku', he done ruku' before the Imam, and he done ruku' another ruku' in the same rak'ah. So, double mistake. So here we need the personal ijtihad. Personal ijtihad. But, even if he does not know, and he rises up, and he went back to ruku' with the Imam, still, this is what the Imam can carry. These mistakes, the Imam will carry, no problem. The Imam will carry, because the first ruku' was nothing. It wasn't a pilar, so the Imam doesn't carry. And it wasn't yani, a wajib, but it's nothing. So it's from the things that the Imam will carry, inshallah. On behalf. If the Imam recites, if he hears the Imam reciting, then yes. But if he doesn't hear the Imam reciting, he should remain and stay. But should the Imam recite, this is another fiqh. I don't know where from they got this. Fadal. When he goes, Now, who said that? No. He says Allah. Ibn Umar says Allah Akbar in every ghafi or ghafi. Ma'alaysh everything. Yani, as I told you, in every issue of fiqh, there are many different opinions. Where is the dalil? Did any Sahaba mention that Rasulullah went to sujood without saying Allahu Akbar? Yeah? Did any of the Sahaba report that Rasulullah went to sujood tilawa without Allahu Akbar or rise without Allahu Akbar? Did any of the Sahaba say that? Sahaba did not say that. They just said he did sujood sound. He did sujood tilawah, okay? Ibn Umar is saying that Rasulullah used to say Allahu Akbar for every khafd wa rafa. So this is am. We cannot specify it with something more am. It must be more specific. More specific. Right? And sujood tilawah, no Allahu Akbar outside the salah. Allahu Akbar is not for the sujood tilawah itself. Inside the salah, Allahu Akbar is for khafd wa rafa, as Ibn Umar said. But outside the salah, it was reported that Rasulullah saw a man, two men were sitting in the masjid reciting, and they both recited ayah as sajda, right? One of them did sujood, and he went with him to sujood. The other did not, he did not do. So what I mean, this Allahu Akbar is not for the sajda of tilawah itself, but it is for moving from one position to another, as Ibn Umar said. Allahu A'lam. طيب
نعم.
No, he doesn't have. If he recites, it's up to him, but he doesn't have. How they get this understanding? It's one saying of the opinions. Okay, they wait to what is in Fajr of Jum'ah. Because in Fajr of Jum'ah, the Sajda comes in the middle of Surah Al-Sajda. So he goes with Sajda, and then when he rises up, he continues. He says, okay, based on that, and every Sajda in the prayer, like Surah Al-Alaq, has a Sajda at the end of it, not in the middle. They say, when you rise up, you need to recite even a small Surah. Who said that? Who said that? There, in Surah Sad, in Surah Alif Lam Mim, Sajda, it is in the middle. So it is logic. In the middle, when he rises up, he can continue his recitation, no problem. But to come to a Sajda like in Surah Al Alaq, which is at the end of the Surah, and you go for sujood of Sajda, of the recitation, and you rise up for moving to the position of Ruku, here you need to recite. Who said that? Where's the delay for that? Where's the delay for that? Wallahu a'lam. Right. Stop here. Halas? No more questions. I have a question. Now we got these rulings and the mistakes in the prayer. And all the time we were talking to the brothers, we hear some little things from the sisters when they wrote some questions. This either means that the sisters fully understand the situation, or they are too busy talking to each other. And because I cannot see them, I cannot catch them. Right? Now, it is the duty of every one of you to examine his wife when he goes back. Wife, and please let me know. Because this is our duties. We, the men, when we sit to search of knowledge, we have to make sure that when we go back to teach our families, and if they were with us, but we don't see them, and they might have their children with them to annoy them or get busy with them, or maybe they get with them some nuts and, you know, drinks, and so they get too busy, then we need to make sure, because this is very, very, very important. Prayer is very, very important. Now, and all these rulings, men and women are the same, no difference, except where we mention the difference, which very, very little times, little places. But the majority of these rulings, men and women are the same. Now,
I made a mistake, but I prayed a long time under the Prophet Muhammad regarding the first of
some of what?
Some of what?
as I told you, and
right?
There is an issue about Surah Al-Najm, but it's not as what you are saying, as long as what I understand. When Surah Al-Najm was revealed, the Prophet ﷺ recited it, and he prostrated, right? He prostrated. Then they were saying that the shaitan made them to hear. In Surah Al-Najm, the shaitan, when they said, Naam, A'udhu Billah, about the Gharaniq, then the shaitan made the kuffar to hear that the Prophet ﷺ agreed to prostrate even for their God. So this rumor was greater than the Muslims, and who were not with the Prophet ﷺ at that time, they thought it's true. So when they came, the Prophet ﷺ refuted that. But I don't know if it was said that you need to recite something after it. Because it clearly says, first you do lillahi wa'budu. But I don't know, I'll need to review it. I'll need to review. Allah.